This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It was 1 week ago that Harvey hit Texas. Since then, San Antonio has become a safe harbor for evacuees and a provider of provisions and supplies for those who couldn't get away. This recovery is going to take a long, long time. We have to think about the immediate and these long-term needs, but San Antonio is ready to help, and many people are asking, how can I help? And we're talking about that this afternoon, and we invite you to call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined for the first half hour by Michael Guetta. He is the Chief Development Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank, and Henry Vandeput, the Executive Director of the Red Cross San Antonio Area Chapter. Henry, tell me first off, give me an update on where what's happening now with the Red Cross in San Antonio.
Well, first, the Red Cross in San Antonio has received overwhelming support from the city, from the residents in this region. We have over 10,000 new volunteers that we're ready to plug in. We're training up in all areas of our response effort. The next step is this is a two-process effect here. One, we have the destruction and things that have happened on the coast that we're responding to here locally as well with our assets, and the major flooding that would be happening in Houston. So right now we're in a preparedness state for the coastal area that's already been hit and the flooding that's happening in Houston. On top of all that, we're still responding to our normal workload of disasters that happen here. Those are, since this disaster started, 7 fire calls that our folks have been on to help the folks right here in San Antonio with their localized disasters.
When you say 10,000 new local volunteers that are being trained up, what does that represent?
That represents San Antonio, New Braunfels, San Marcos, Kerrville area, south of us, and really all these people went to our website in order to volunteer with the Red Cross and get, especially volunteer within a shelter. It's important that we make sure that those shelter residents, that anybody coming in, passes a Red Cross background check. So right now, a lot of those 10,000, we're waiting to get make sure that those get cleared up. The next step is working on training. So we've had trainings for folks who have already signed up almost all the time at our location since this began, and so that we can deploy them should we need them.
So when we saw that Harvey was coming, the first thought was San Antonio was going to get it. And were you in preparing mode at that time? What were you looking at doing?
We prepare around the clock, 24/7, 365. So we are ready. We have disaster action teams that are fully trained year-round on sheltering operations, mass feeding, localized threats. And so we were mobilizing our area. We had requested supplies been dropped into San Antonio. I think we had 3 trailers come in with enough to feed and supply 1,000 shelter residents for at least a week. And that was before we knew anything.
And then we saw it didn't get to San Antonio like we thought. It was going to stay in Houston. And so those supplies that had been deployed here were going to be redeployed, have been redeployed? How did that work?
Some of them have been. As you know, Houston and the whole area has been tough to get into. And the first response and the first thing that need to happen are the rescues that need to happen on the ground. And so that is actually more important than even getting our supplies in. So the second step would be, and is happening, is that since this has been cleared up, probably since about Tuesday, we've started identifying what we need to keep here, and more importantly, what can be used elsewhere. And so we're sending shipments every day. We have a wonderful community outpouring of in-kind gifts of water, diapers, all kinds of things that we're pretty good with those needs here in San Antonio, but we can get these out to those coastal areas and especially to Houston.
Michael Guetta, Chief Development Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. What role is the food bank playing here in San Antonio with the evacuees?
Well, so I want to just piggyback real quick on something you were asking just earlier to Henry, and that's about, you know, the track of that hurricane. I mean, at some level, and if Eric was here, I think Eric Cooper, our CEO, he would say, you know, we were probably spared as a community so that we could respond. San Antonio has the most generous hearts maybe of any community in the country, and they definitely know how to step up. And, you know, there's probably this great opportunity in front of us. Are we going to be defined by the hurricane? Or are we going to define it by how we choose, right? Are we going to choose to sit on the sideline? Or are we going to choose to get in the game? So for the food bank, and we've been, Henry and I have been, this is the third time we've seen each other in 24 hours. The food bank and the Red Cross have been working hand in hand a lot. And it's been a very much an aligned nonprofit and public government effort. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And we could give praise all day to all of those leaders that, that make this happen. So the food bank's role has been a couple. One, it's been to work very carefully with material donations. And so material donations, both for our evacuees here that are at the Red Cross, material donations, and we've been very specific what we try and tell the community. We'll talk about it in a second. Supporting the shelters with meals. So the food bank's been cooking all the meals, getting them over to our shelters so that the evacuees are well fed. And if those evacuees have needed snacks, diapers, baby formula, clothes, other things while they're sheltering here, we've been asking the community for that support. Same time, we've been also lining up truckloads of goods from our national network, right? There's 205 food banks like us across the country. We've been lining those up, talking to those food vendors and others so that we could then, once the roads were open, go down to Corpus, Rockport, Victoria, and now Houston. So we sent watermelons 2 days ago from Pearsall, where we work with some farmers. Yesterday, we got out of San Antonio the first semi-truckload of donated product from San Antonians. So diapers, bedding from HEB, water, just some of the key things that they needed, snacks, et cetera. So sent that first truck from San Antonio down yesterday, and at least 100 more that will come in the coming weeks to go to Houston alone.
The Houston Food Bank facility, did they take on water?
They did. They were closed up until yesterday. Yesterday was their first full day open. So they were closed over the weekend and Monday and Tuesday. And so they were really struggling. They got in some high water vehicles through their county, through Harris County, that could get some water out to get down to the convention center and some of the shelters. But it was pretty tough. They're the largest food bank in the country. And while their community was in need, they were almost unable to respond. And so that's where we're the largest big city next to them, the largest regional food bank that was still open. And so that's part of the role that we have been playing and will continue to play for weeks.
And will their building sustain a lot of terrible damage that needs to be rebuilt?
No, luckily not. No, they some lobby and some other things, but they're fully operational. In fact, our truck showed up last night. They had 800 volunteers yesterday alone, right? So they're really getting ready to mobilize on their side as well.
And Henry Vandepute, the Red Cross in Houston, their headquarters, how do they do?
I would say that this is on the part of the Red Cross, will amount to the most robust relief effort we've got. I can tell you that Houston, David, is their regional CEO over there, is doing a great job. As you know, they have several mega shelters operating in conjunction with their city leadership, and it works very much the same way that we're working here. It's a community partnership model, because no entity can do it alone, and certainly the Red Cross needs the food banks across the state, the local municipal governments. But I can tell you that we have the Red Cross is prepared. We got 1,000 volunteers that were deployed in. These are people with specialized skills that have been training on this year-round. We got 1,000 in yesterday, and before this is over in the Houston, the coastal area, we will have 5,000 boots on the ground before Labor Day.
All right, we're going to continue discussing the Hurricane Harvey relief, short-term and long-term. This is not going to be over for a very, very long time. How can you help? What questions and comments do you have? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this quick break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We've seen the terrible video coming from Houston and other parts of the Texas coast. Port Arthur today is still dealing with terrible water. And Houston, the water is receding and people are switching from a search and rescue to a recovery effort, and the death toll continues to climb there. Here on The Source this afternoon, we're talking about how San Antonio can be a provider of relief and resources that they need. And we're talking with Henry Vandepute. He is the executive director of the Red Cross San Antonio chapter, and Michael Guetta, chief development officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, the number is 210-614-8980. So Henry Vandepute, when the shelters are open, who decides the shelter, where it goes, how big it is, all those things?
The great folks with the city, especially with the San Antonio Fire Department, are the lead agency in control of our shelters, and they are leading from the front. and have been open. They're in communication with state officials, with folks in Houston. And so they activate all of us. We have people in the EOC, like I'm sure the food bank does. And so they're really coordinated and quarterbacking this whole effort on our behalf. So they actually work and will tell us, we're preparing this many shelters, we're expecting this many folks, and then we're responsible for making sure that we are prepared to staff those shelters. And really, the big areas are three: registration and intake, dormitory management, and then the cafeteria and feeding process.
And the feeding process, that falls to the food bank.
Yeah, the way it works, and it's great, it's organizations working together at its best, and we've seen that throughout this entire relief effort. And so we have our volunteers actually pick up the food at a food bank location. The count goes from San Antonio Fire Department directly to the food bank. Our volunteers will pick them up in one of our emergency response vehicles, and then we get it out to our volunteers who are in the shelter, who are put in charge of feeding. And this happens three times a day, and they are terrific meals that these folks are getting.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. David is on the line. Hi, David. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm live in San Antonio, and I'm wanting to go down and help out. I have a good number of tools and moderate know-how, and I'm just trying to figure out what is the best use of me and who I can hook up with and make that happen so I can help out.
Okay, David, great question. And so let me ask you, Henry Vandepute from the Red Cross.
So, David, thank you so much for your willingness to help. I think the first step is we have a great overwhelming support. Like I said, 10,000 people that have already registered for our training. So as of right now, what I would say is reach out, go to redcross.org. Our site, we knew, have been having some issues with just the sheer volume. But if you'd like to get plugged in with the Red Cross, we really need you to fill out that intake form and make sure we pass a background check. And during that process, we can ask, and you can self-acclimate what skills you have, where you're interested. And I'll tell you, David, we need people far beyond this relief effort. And that's what's important. While we have these 10,000 folks right now, there's no guarantee that all of those folks are going to make it through, one. That all those folks, the willingness will be there to continue to volunteer throughout. So I would say keep that willingness, keep that compassionate heart well beyond the events of Hurricane Harvey, because the city needs you.
I was in Victoria 2 days ago, and the city was just lined with trees that had been blown over, old trees knocked over, and what they needed were people with chainsaws. I mean, and driving around, you see a lot of homes, elderly people with trees that are down in their yards, and they don't have the capacity to deal with that. And a lot of people are dealing with storm damage, and you could just see how somebody with some hammer and nails and a chainsaw could do a lot of good. So it's self-motivated individuals could come in and provide some help there. But as people want to provide help, we got to make sure that we're able to give what's needed. Michael Guetta from the food bank, how are people doing? I mean, it's just items that you really need, items not so much.
Yeah, great question. Just to piggyback on the meals question, we've had a lot of great local companies and some national restaurants also step up. Our friends at Whataburger, right, call in saying, how can we provide taquitos? Our friends at Starbucks, we want to give coffee. And the list could go on and on. We could stay here the whole time thanking some of those partners. But it's also been great to see folks who want to supplement the meals and make sure that those evacuees and shelters are treated with the utmost respect and getting the best food. But now for individuals, and we're fielding calls all day, and our teams are, how can people help? Let me just talk about material goods real quick. So I think the most challenging part has been the reception of used clothing. We really need only new clothing. Our friends at Goodwill and their CEO, Kevin Bergner, is on our board. They can be that receptacle for used clothing year in and year out. They're actually having, I think, a downturn in donations. So if people have that and want to make a difference, go to Goodwill. Particularly for our relief efforts, both in San Antonio and to the coast, top items are hygiene, cleaning products, right? And we're going to need a bunch of those cleaning products as we go forward. Diapers and baby food still are high on the list.
Be a little more specific. What do you mean by, they need toothbrushes?
So hygiene would be toothbrushes, shampoos, deodorants, right? Some of those basics. We get feminine products all across the board, right? And on diapers, both baby diapers and adult diapers, new clothes only, men's and women's tops and bottoms, or socks and undergarments. So specifically for items is what we've requested. pet food. We're sheltering hundreds of pets here in San Antonio, but also a lot of displaced pets along the coast. So pet food, cat food, dog food, canned or dry, all of those are fantastic. And then when it comes to food, right, we don't want to forget the food items, snacks, snack items, pop-top items. So chili, a pop-top chili, some of those kind of things, or pop-top fruits, kind of canned fruit, peanut butter and tuna. So good proteins like that would be some of the top non-perishable food items.
Okay, now the caller, this is Josh. And Josh, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. We have two aircraft available that we've been trying to find an organization that can help put us to work. One's a four-seat aircraft and one is a six-seat, can be configured for people or cargo. And we'd love to be able to move stuff and help with logistics if there's a spot for us.
All right, Josh, thanks for calling in. And we're going to get your number offline, and we'll get that to Henry Vandepute. And so how can he help? How could that be tapped in?
So, Josh, thank you so much for your willingness and all these citizen heroes that have coming up. You're seeing stories of this all around. So I think the best thing would be to get this information offline so that we can really put you in touch with the agency or partner. As you can imagine, especially along the coast, it's such a fluid situation that there's no loss of need for folks to step up, but it has to be a great coordinated effort. There's so much happening that the first rule of emergency response is do no harm. And so we appreciate the effort. We appreciate your willingness. I say let's get your information, and we'll connect you with the right folks.
I was at one of the shelters, evacuation centers, recently, and a van drives up with a Red Bull, and they want to give away Red Bull. And I don't think they coordinated this at all. And so they found out, well, you really can't give away the Red Bull to the people here. And so they kind of got turned away. And some people are, hey, I would love to have a Red Bull right now. But so how does that work out? What's the process, Henry?
We work. So what's amazing about having a partner like the San Antonio Food Bank is the food bank has stepped up in a material donation lead. And so really what we're telling folks when they call us about anything is, first and foremost, have you tried dropping this off at the food bank? Because that's the best coordinated effort and most robust effort that we have. The food bank has expertise with dealing with donated items in. The Red Cross's expertise is preparing these items in advance. So we have what was called a cleanup kits. And I can tell you just from San Antonio, we've deployed probably 30 to 40 to I can't even count the number of pallets. And these things have bleach and brooms and mops. And these things get deployed in advance and are with our mobile response teams to give them on the ground. But they're kind of two different things. And so we first say, if you bring it and you don't want to take it anywhere else, we're going to take it. Because first and foremost, we want to make sure that we're responding to the community. But if you can, coordinate with that food bank, coordinate with Michael and his great team over there, because that's going to be the best way to get it in.
All right, another caller. This is Dave. Hi, Dave. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'd like to pass on some hearsay information. Yesterday, I was watching CNBC, which is a news finance channel on TV, and the announcer said that they were hiring about 1,500, FEMA was, 1,500 people to go in and assess, do whatever they do, and paying these people quite a bit of money. $4,000 to $5,000 is what they show up on the screen per week, and I just wanted to pass that information along. Once again, it's hearsay information; you'd have to check it out. But the way I would go about it, if I was going to do that, would be to go online. I just wanted to pass that along, and I'll get off the line. But thank you.
Okay, well, Dave, thank you for that call. But I do also want to say that there are scammers out there that are saying these rogue tweets that are popping up saying, apply for FEMA, call this number, and they are actually taking people's personal information, and it's identity theft. And so you really have to be careful about responding to these phishing scams that are online telling people FEMA is hiring. That is true. But there is also questions about how you respond to that, and people are trying to use that cloak to rip you off. So be careful in that manner. So in talking about scams and stuff, Henry Vandepute, some people try to disguise themselves as the Red Cross.
So I can tell you, we go through a thorough background check, and everyone that we deploy into the area will be labeled and with a number. And what's important is these folks that are especially doing this, what we will do exactly in these affected areas is we have our damage assessment teams that go in, and they literally will see if a house is affected? Is it a major affected or a total loss? And we work on the ground and are clearly identified. And we do that because we want to make sure that we're providing that relief. We're providing that closest to where the affected area is. And so the new folks that are coming in, these 10,000, you're not going to be part of those damage assessment teams. And that's not because we don't think you're qualified, but that's because it's a specialized process. And we feel confident, and we want to protect those communities that we're serving. We would hate for any of that kind of misinformation to get out there. So the important part for anybody listening are two things. One, you can report on redcross.org safe and well. That's first step, because you can tell us where you are, and then you know reporting that information into the Red Cross is a great way. And then second, our teams will be down there clearly identified in assessing damage. We don't necessarily wait for the folks to come to us to do that. We will get the teams on the ground as soon as we can.
Really quickly, how will you be shifting to long-term recovery? What does that mean for the Red Cross?
So just like the relief effort here quickly is a community response, the long-term will be a community response. I can tell you that we will be active in the shelters as long as the city needs us to be, and as long as there's a need. Really, for the long term for housing, I can tell you that there are people planning for that. Just like we were planning for the disaster to hit, it's too soon to speculate how many people will be here, how many people will be in San Antonio, how many people will be in our region. And so I can tell you the state, city, even the federal government, along with all of the nonprofits, are working together to make sure that we have that plan in place.
So there's going to be people like we saw after New Orleans, a diaspora of people who left. There's nothing to go back to, and maybe they're going to settle. Was there some sort of help for people who do want to resettle here?
So they're working directly in the shelters that I just came from. I know there is discussions with those folks. And so firstly would be identifying those folks who want to stay. And so that's the work that's being done now. The next process would be making sure that the city understands, and they do. The city is leading on this from the front. And so they're in those shelters. They're working with these folks. The great folks of the San Antonio Fire Department are getting this information along with the team from the Red Cross and everybody from the food bank. And it's a coordinated effort so that we can respond to those individuals.
And Michael Guetta, you're doing all this extra stuff for Houston and San Antonio and the evacuees, but at the same time still having to maintain the food bank for everyone else who depends upon it.
So the 5,000 meals a day that we've been cooking that have been going to the shelter have come out of our kitchen at Haven for Hope, where we're already feeding 800 to 1,000 people that live at Haven, right? So those people still need their three meals a day and a snack at that homeless campus. And on top of it, the team and the volunteers have stepped up to go the extra mile for evacuees. So whether it's coming from one of our kitchens, the 58,000 people that we're nourishing through our pantry network, all of those services still need to happen. And school went back to, kids are back in school this week, right? And so while our summer need was taken care of, we shift into getting after school meals as well. And that started up for us in full this week. So it's been a great combination. But I think that is an important message for the community, that we're going to be about a both and work right now. We're going to do both the daily disaster of poverty, and it is that, and then the long-term effort that's ahead of us.
All right, Michael Guetta, Chief Development Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank, also joining us. Henry Vandepute, the Executive Director for the Red Cross San Antonio Chapter. And we're going to come back. We're going to be talking about the Texas Windstorm Insurance Association. How prepared are they to deal with the claims that will be coming from the most expensive natural disaster in American history? The source continues after this break. Stay tuned.